Welcome to the REORC Primary View, where we cover the latest developments in high-yield, distressed debt, and bankruptcy, and feature discussions on issues affecting distressed debt, leveraged finance, direct lending, high-yield bonds, high-yield municipals, covenants, private credit, and middle-market companies. I'm David Zupkis. To celebrate Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, REORC's Harvard Jang leads a panel discussion with Larry Wee, a partner at Milbank, JD, a managing director at Jefferies, Alex Xiao, an associate at Gibson Dunn, and David Semikanu, a director at Alex Partners, where they discuss why they set up a networking group called Restructuring Asians in New York, or RAINY, how they got to where they are professionally, and what can be done to advance the careers of minorities. And as always, we bring you our weekly summary of interesting developments in the restructuring world, as well as a preview of what's on tap for next week. It's Monday, May 6th.
Five Asians in the debt finance and restructuring industry get together to record a podcast. What are they going to talk about? Welcome, listeners, to another REORC special podcast. My name is Harvard Zhang. I run distressed debt news coverage for REORC, based in the Big Apple. It is my absolute honor and delight today to host four remarkable professionals for a discussion in celebration of Asian American and Pacific Islander Month. I do this podcasting maybe once a year, I think, so definitely not often. So you can tell today's topic is dear and near to my heart. Let me introduce our guests quickly before we dive into good stuff. We have Larry Wee, a partner at Milbank, who focuses on capital markets and finance transactions, securities regulation, and restructuring matters. JD, who is managing director in Jefferies Debt Advisory and Restructuring Group. Alex Dell, an associate in Gibson Dunn's Restructuring Group. And last but not least, Dave Semikanu, a director at Alex Partners, doing turnaround and restructuring work. Welcome, guys. First things first, I think we should introduce RAINY to our listeners and use the classic five W's: who, what, where, when, and why. And how does RAINY function? Because how I found out about it was someone told me about RAINY at a party, and I was like, I'm Asian, can I join? Dave, when I get us started, I think you're one of the instigators. And then we can throw
sure. So in 2022, I was working on an engagement with one of my colleagues, Kay Wang, and she asked me to get more involved with our internal employee resource group for the Asian demographic, known as Align. So I got involved and I asked Kay, you know what, we should increase our business development and networking aspect of this group. So I said, how about we do a dinner? Let me reach out to some of the bankers, lawyers, investors that I've known through the years, and I'll see if they want to get together. So we have one dinner, probably a dozen people. It was great. We had a good time. I think somebody came up with the RAINY moniker at that dinner. We had another dinner, and it went on for a few. And then I got to know JD. Our current deal, we've been on for 15 months. So I got to know JD. And then that's where it really took off. I mean, JD knows everybody, right? So he brought in people like Alex and others. And that's really when it went from being really grassroots to really taking off. So I'll let JD and Alex kind of continue the story of RAINY, because from that point, it's really started to grow. So Alex, JD.
Well, let me jump in first, I guess. And first of all, Dave, you gave me too much credit. I just happened to be at the dinner and that you invited me to, and I thought this is a, for a very good cause. I think as Asians, right, we don't necessarily have a dedicated organization that everyone is aware of. So I think this is a potentially a good platform for the community to get together. But I think really where it took off was when Alex took the lead, really leveraging his skill set from Gibson, organizing groups. Alex, why don't you take over from here?
Of course, JD is also giving me too much credit. So I do work at Gibson Dunn. You know, our bread and butter representation here is ad hoc groups. And I often think of, personally often think of ad hoc groups as hosting parties. You send out an email to a bunch of people and say, hey, we're going to have a call. We're going to do this transaction. You should join. It's very similar to organizing, you know, organization like Rainy. And, you know, Harvard, you mentioned that, you know, you heard about our organization at one of those parties saying, you know, this are, here's the thing, you should join because you're Asian. I think that actually speaks to the interesting thing about Rainy, which is it's really organic growth. You know, we go to these, you know, conventions, we'll go to these events, we'll go to these parties, and we meet people that we work with, we meet people that, you know, we get to know through different locations, and, you know, we, you know, like each other, and we invite them to this, at this point, still relatively loose organization, and we, you know, we put event together. So that's really why I think Rainy is so dynamic and so popular at this day, because, you know, we really grow, you know, we really grew it through a dynamic organization. So, you know, back to the starting place, you know, the second dinner that Dave was talking about, you know, I was part of it, and, you know, the folks who were at that dinner were saying, you know, we should have, you know, put an organization together. And I said, well, you know, that sounds like something I can do, because I do this every day by organizing ad hoc groups. And why don't I just do the same thing that I do every day and put everybody on an email list and say, we're going to have a party 2 weeks from now. And 20 people just showed up. I was very, very successful, you know, first, you know, Rainy, you know, formal event. And we had fun, we get to know each other, and we actually learned a lot from each other, and was really started building this community that would benefit, you know, everyone. So that's really, you know, how it went, you know, it was started.
And if I may, Harvard, thank you for having us on so we can help publicize this. You know, I think we're growing as a group, and we've talked to more senior folks like Larry, who've given us some thoughts on how to take this to the next level. So thank you for publicizing this. I mean, I think our industry has some great groups, like, you know, I Work for Women, that's a great example. I think we have some groups that we can take best practices from and use guidance of folks like Larry. So thank you again, Harvard, for getting our name out there.
Of course, happy to. Two questions, actually three. When is the next Rainy event? And I have to apologize, actually. I really tried to get at least one female identifying Asian restructuring leverage finance person on this podcast, but for one reason or another, they just can't do this. But we have a very inclusive group here, right?
Very much so.
Next event, guys, when it's going to be?
We're going to do like a summer event. It's going to be fun. We don't know when yet, but likely, you know, July or August.
Awesome. And I didn't hear anybody taking credit for the Rainy moniker, which is very important.
We'll say team effort.
Benefit. I think for everyone's benefit, you should spell it out for folks.
Dave.
So it started as restructuring agents in New York. I understand this is a more, you know, national type podcast, so maybe we'll switch it to be more inclusive of those outside of the New York area, but I think we all just like the way it sounds. So that's the origin, that's what it stands for, but we're happy to adjust as this organization grows.
Awesome. Now I'm going to interrogate my guests about their personal journey to find inspiration, because it's very important to have role models so we can know that it can be done. And luckily we have Larry Wee here with us. Larry, first of all, congrats on your 1 year anniversary at Milbank.
Larry,
Larry was at another big law firm before that for more than 25 years. Larry, I can tell on one hand, the Asian debt finance and restructuring partners in big law. How did you make it? How did you acquire the skills you need for the next levels over the years? And how do you develop relationships? How do you build your brand and market recognition?
Yeah, I think that, you know, restructuring professionals, a lot of them start out as something else. A lot of them start out as regular way left fin, capital markets and securities, bankruptcy restructuring. And then they find that they have an aptitude for what we do. And the what we do fundamentally is figuring out a system how a system works. A covenant package is like a gigantic computer program. And you have to figure out, and it's a bunch of if-then statements and subroutines and things like that. And so when I'm looking for someone who can do this, I'm looking for like the coder or the even like, you know, or people who can work within systems and figure out how best to achieve their goals within a system of rules. And so whatever training that you start with, if you are very adept at figuring out how systems work and how best to maximize your goals within the system, that's really the skill set that you need to develop. And it almost doesn't matter where you start out, but you know, those few areas are where you do start out. What I found, though, in terms of developing relationships, that is another, you know, that is another skill set that you do need to focus on, because in order to become a law firm partner, in order to become a senior level person in any organization, let's say, you know, managing director at an advisory firm, or something like that, or at a fund, you know, same thing. It's about developing relationships. But I think that fundamentally, relationships are based on trust. And if a person trusts you, if you demonstrate personal integrity, and you repeatedly demonstrate personal integrity, that's something that goes a long way. Because fundamentally, relationships are, do I trust that person with what it is that I have? And if the answer is yes, then the person wants to retain you as an advisor.
What about your market recognition? Because I think, you know, you do have a brand, you know, in the leveraged finance restructuring community. I feel like that's just the next level for even like for partners to have that, you know, star power, right?
I don't know if I have star power, but I would say that you have to demonstrate that you know the material, okay? So all these binders back here, each one of them is a credit that I'm looking at. And I read everything. I go into every nook and cranny because I'm looking for the way to optimize the client's result in any system. And so you have to have that level of dedication, that level of knowledge of the material. You can't skip steps. And you can't have just one strategy. It's not a one size fits all. I mean, you know, JD, let me ask you, right? I mean, when you look at a situation for a client, right, you're not just going to run one play, if you will. Like, you can't say, I have a group of cross holders, right? I can't run the play that I would use for a secured only group, right?
Right. Yeah, you really have to look at all alternatives, and they change. The circumstance change and your strategy have to adapt as well.
Right. And sometimes it's a very complex system because the covenant packages might not allow this. A lot of times you're sitting there going, well, that works over here, but that doesn't work over here. Let me make sure that it kind of works on all these different levels. And so there's that. But there's also the ability to communicate that the recipient. You have to have the ability to communicate that to the recipient in a way that is compact and in a way that is understandable and in a way that addresses what it is that the client perceives as a need. But your personal brand is going to be based on your integrity. Integrity has a number of different aspects. One of them is knowing the stuff. And does the person trust you to have read this? The second thing is coming up with the right strategy for the right situation, like JD was just saying. And then the third thing would be being able to say, you know, if I say that I have 50% of this group or this particular bond, that really means that I've got 50%, because, you know, eventually people are going to figure out that you're full of it or not.
I'm taking away from what Larry said, you know, embrace the complexity of this. Well, it's a beat for me, you know, restructuring. Even me from covering this beat, it is so complicated, which also makes it fun. And also, Larry mentioned communication skills and, you know, hard work does pay off. So,
well, you know, like Harvard, have I ever lied to you?
It's not like one deal, right? You have like, you know, you have decades of, you know, work ahead of everyone. You can't just, you know, it wouldn't work in the long run, I guess.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
JD, I run into agents in restructuring investment banks all the time. But as soon as I get to the director and managing director level and partner level, again, I can count on one hand, maybe two hands. Talk to us about how you got to where you are today. How has the expectation of the firm for you changed over time as you progress? How do you win deals?
Good question. And I think I sort of echo what Larry said earlier, right? A lot of people are going to stumble into restructuring, I guess myself included. I started as in workout coming out of financial crisis, because there's no better job than doing distress after financial crisis. Look, I think it's very, I echo your observation. There are more restructuring agents in banking. Obviously, we see a lot more agents outside of restructuring. But within restructuring, I think it's even growing. Some of it is just a different time. You know, back when I was coming into the industry, there weren't many agents to begin with, right? Now there are a lot more over the last 10 years or so, and you're starting to see people kind of grow with, you know, grow up in the ranks, going up the ranks. Which is extremely encouraging. I think it's good to have the diversity, and I think we should embrace that for sure. And looking at the career development, I think I'm a bit lucky. So I have been at Jefferies for the last 14 years, which is very rare for bankers. So I essentially grew up at Jefferies, and also very differently because Jefferies has changed so much over the last 15 years. We grew from a small boutique I think when I joined, restructuring was something like we had 50 bankers in restructuring out of a few hundred bankers overall. Now we have, you know, the firm is a few thousand people, and the restructuring is just a small part of the overall bank. So it's a very different platform today. I think part of the reason I have stayed in restructuring for this long is it's very interesting, right? All the deals that we're doing are very complex. You know, we are dealing with a different groups of different types of potential clients, the company, the creditors, different stakeholders, the unions, right? And you really learn not only the mechanics of a deal, and you need to be really good at it, as Larry said, right? You really need to know your technicals, know the transaction, the documents. And for bankers, you really had to be good at with your execution. But as you get to be more senior, it's more about strategy. And I think back when I was more junior, you know, the first book that you learn is Moyer's Distress Investing, right? With the chessboard on the front cover. I don't think I appreciated how much that really, you know, the chess component, the thinking about the strategy went into restructuring till you get more senior, and then you are now the one thinking about the strategy, thinking about how you are optimizing your client's value by putting forth the best executable transaction, right? And that's what bankers like to say. It needs to be a transaction with certainty and be able to execute on it. And that, I think, indirectly answer your question, how you win deals, right? Because as we see, for any situation we get into, it's more about finding that the right strategy, finding the right transaction and a value maximizing transaction for the client. And at Jefferies, I think it's a little bit different to some of our competitors because we are probably the largest full service investment bank that still have a restructuring practice. And when we go into a client, we call it bring the firm. So we bring everyone that's related, whether it's in leverage finance, which is, you know, sort of related to what we do, but just on more healthier credit side. We bring definitely our industry coverage team who have very in-depth understanding of the sector with the relationship with the management, with the board. We really want to present the client with the full suite of solutions that they can pursue. Now, whether or not all of them are at the end of the day executable, that's a different story. But we want the client to see, you know, all the alternatives out there and to be able to, and, you know, we have the ability to pursue, you know, the best transaction for the client. I think that really is the difference that we're trying to bring. And, you know, obviously every bank is different. Everyone have their specialties. But to me, as I was kind of growing up at Jefferies, that was very exciting because I'm constantly learning new sector, new product. You know, I changed my hat from distressed M&A banker with Dave to liability management banker, right? To I run even, you know, raise equities, all right? Not public, not IPO equity, but private placement equities, right? So it really is a very wide range of products and experience. I think no other role will be able to offer you. So it's very exciting. And I hope that answers the question.
Well, actually, JD, let me bring out something that that you just said there, okay, which is really, really, really interesting. That part of what you bring to the table is expertise across a whole broad range of products. And I'll say that actually, that when I think about the best restructuring folks, they have expertise across a broad range of products. So when you come at things with a solution, right? When you come at things with a solution, you can say, hey, you know, instead of just, you know, secure debt product, right? You can go, hey, maybe I can do some sort of hybrid or maybe some equity linked product. Maybe it's a securitization. Maybe it's an asset-based lending product. Maybe it's converts or whatever it is. But having that broad base of knowledge is why, you know, restructuring professionals, a lot of times they bring very, very unique perspectives. I mean, Alex, you agree with me? I mean, because you've probably had a lot of experience around a lot of different products, right?
Yeah, 100% agree. You know, different products, different industries. You know, we're not just focused on, you know, any single industry or any single strategy or any single asset class. And the interesting thing about restructuring, right? By definition, you're converting very often from one instrument to another, and then you deal with the process through, you know, you deal with the changes, you deal with the ramifications, you know, throughout that process. So it's actually what we do, right?
So you do a lot of stuff by analogy, right? When you're solving problems, sometimes you're taking pieces of one thing and you're saying, well, you know, this doesn't quite fit into my situation because this is how the covenants are. But then I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to kind of work it around a little bit and use the same principles that are over here instead. And this fits. And so that's why that's how we solve problems with capital structures. Let me ask, Dave, in founding Rainy, right? This isn't just designed to be a social organization, right? It's fun, okay? But what makes this different from let's just get together and go bowling together or whatever?
Yep. I think what makes this different is the intent to help all of us on a professional and personal basis, right? I think, as you mentioned, our industry is great. We deal with a lot of different aspects in the deals, we work on, right? So it can be daunting at times to balance, working on a deal and networking. So the intent of Rainy was, I started, primarily, now it's expanded, was to be, networking from a business development perspective, right? So I know JD now, I know Alex, I know you now, right? So if I see a name in the market, I can reach out to you. But I think what's really evolved from that, it's also a mentoring platform, and we can get best practices from each other. So I think, Larry, I think we need to probably grow this group and bring in, some more senior professionals in the industry. Because, yeah, you're right. The social part is great, and it's great to build those natural, organic relationships. But we really want to develop so we can leverage best practices and get advice from those that have done well in the industry.
Well, and here's the let me tell you what the 800 pound gorilla is that's lurking in our living room, right? For some reason, okay, and I don't know what it is, and I've seen this in other professional organizations that are AAPI focused, right? We're bashful about referring business to one another. I don't know what it is. Every one of the people that I know in the organization, when I look at the list of folks that were invited to the event, these are all great folks, smart folks. And I would have no hesitation whatsoever referring something to JD, okay? Because I know he's absolutely positively qualified to do what I refer him to, or what I refer to him. And for some reason, we don't do that. And I just kind of wonder why we don't.
Well, hopefully by building this community, we can, just from a very young age, where everyone, a lot of people are still in their 20s and 30s, hopefully they build trust, and over the years when they, grow up, go up the ranks, they'll be referring deals back and forth to each other, which would be great. And also, I really just want to take another moment to appreciate what Larry and Jake and Alex and Dave have been saying about the high-level thinking that people need when they advance their careers. And also, it's just great to see that, the second generation of immigrants, first generation of immigrants, myself included, that are joining, restructuring, and doing great work, hard work, doing this very intellectually challenging and very rewarding work. And also Jefferies, by the way, hosts the best the Chinese New Year's party ever. So every year. Alex, I want to go to
you. Thank you.
Alex, I want to go to you. So you're with a great law firm and you're Rainy. I know there are many Asian associates, fourth year, fifth year, et cetera, at other prominent law firms. I'm wondering how you ended up at Gibson Dunn as a restructuring lawyer, growing up in Beijing, which happens to be my hometown as well. Does your Asian identity matter when it comes to career advancement? And is mentorship important and available?
Great question. So I'm gonna take them one by one. So I'll start by saying why I'm a restructuring lawyer at Gibson. I often tell the first year, you know, associates at my firm or, you know, law students who are wondering about doing a practice group, you know, what practice group they should choose. I often tell them restructuring is great because it's very relevant, it's very necessary, and it's fun. I'll explain what I meant. Restructuring is necessary because something bad is going to happen unless us people on this phone step in. You know, where's the ambulance? People always say lawyers are ambulance chasers, but, you know, we're actually ambulance in this situation. You know, we step in, we, you know, disarm a bomb that's going to go off and could hurt more people, right, if the restructuring professionals didn't step in. So, you know, you do have this sense of necessity and you're there to prevent, you know, more job losses, more value destruction. So that gives you a sense of purpose. If you're working late, you know why. Relevance, I think our job is very relevant because everything that happens in the world has an impact to your work life. You know, Jay Powell raises the interest point by a couple, you know, basis point that's gonna impact your life instantly, right? It's a war in Europe, in Ukraine, that impacts your life. Supply chain issues, right? That's headwind for a lot of the companies that filed for bankruptcy in the past year or two. Like in 2021, every single company that I've read their, you know, first day declaration of, they all cite three reasons for their bankruptcy: supply chain issues in the world, the war in Ukraine, and high inflation. So you feel very relevant to world events. You know, I studied political science in college and, you know, I found that connection to the world events, to whatever that's happening around us, very, very appealing. And lastly, it's very fun because, you know, as Larry just said, you know, this is, we do things across industry and we're very innovative, right? The restructuring space is very innovative, especially in the past couple of years when the LME liability management exercises become more prominent, right? And it's a very, very late development. You know, J.Crew was in 2016, Certa was 2020, and, you know, the double dips are even more recent. So these are like great, interesting development that have become a key feature of our practices, and they've only, you know, emerged in the past, you know, less than a decade. That's really showcase, right, how innovative the folks in this space are. And they're fun. Like the structures are fun. The adversarial, sometimes part of it is fun. A lot of it is, you know, people trading information. A lot of it is, you know, politics, intra-groups, inter-groups. So these are, you know, very, very fun aspects of our industry that, you know, not a lot of similar industry in Wall Street would share. So that's really why, you know, I'm a restructuring attorney, and that's why I'm a Gibson Dunn, because, you know, we're at the forefront of a lot of these innovations. In terms of me being an Asian and whether my identity helps with my career advancement, you know, I think every identity would help your career advancement if you if you do the right thing, if you, you know, find the people who support you, people share your vision, people share your identity, people share your, you know, support and, you know, sentiments towards the same community and cause. And I think I've found one, right? The Rainey organization hopefully becomes something more formal, you know, some sort of institution one day, you know, can really be something that could help everyone who shares my identity, the identity of folks on this phone. You know, identity is a tricky subject these days. And, you know, I really hope it's something that's, you know, only for the positive. And, you know, we're, you know, very, the organization itself, Rainey itself, is very, very inclusive. And we're, you know, welcoming everyone who's, you know, supportive of the cause, who wants to support this community to be part of it. And I think because of that, my identity is helping with my career development, with helping with my effort to build this career community. I'm sorry, what's the last question?
Mentorship.
Mentorship. mentorship is great. So the Gibson Group, the Gibson Restructuring Group is very big on mentorship. You know, we're more focused on FaceTime than, you know, perhaps other groups in the firm. You know, we see each other a lot. And I think as a younger professional, I'm a fourth-year associate compared to many of you on the phone, I'm much, much, you know, greener. To me, I think FaceTime, you know, seeing people doing their work in real life, it's very, very helpful. And I think, you know, all focus on FaceTime, you know, being able to, you know, stay together, you know, doing a lot of events together, you know, at Gibson with clients internally, is very, very helpful. And we're very busy. Being busy is probably the best mentorship that you can get, right? If the system is in place to have the machine running, because a lot of this job is, you know, learning by doing it. And there's no better way to learn. I think I'm getting what I'm looking to get at this point. And you know, with everybody on this phone, I feel like I'm getting a little bit extra mentorship. So thank you, you all.
Awesome. Go ahead. Taking it
in another direction. Because it's my job to mentor the folks who are coming into here.
Yes.
You know, tomorrow is May the 4th, and I'm having the entire team over to my house, and we're going to watch Return of the Jedi together. May the 4th be with you.
Nice.
But we're also going to be talking together at dinner before the movie. What is our strategic objective as a group? What do we need to be doing next? What do I need to be doing to help each of you get to the next level? Because part of what we are doing here, at least I hope, when we think about mentorship, what we're really talking about is for those of us who are at the senior level, it's helping those who are more junior to become the next senior folks. And everyone who's kind of at the mid-level, helping those who are junior to us become the mid-level and the, you know, all that stuff. But like, for example, I'm going to be talking to the entire team, and we're going to be sharing ideas about, hey, how do we expand our capabilities? How do we, you know, bring people in to the group, both from internally, you know, people coming up, and also laterally? I'll tell you that I never decide to hire anyone or bring in someone from the outside without consulting with the rest of the team, because it's part, again, it's again personal integrity. I'm not going to bring someone in to compete with other folks when I know that would be a bad thing for this person's advancement. And I know that this person can make it. I have to be very sensitive about that sort of thing whenever I'm putting together a team. And when I think about also what capabilities do I want to focus on in terms of this person's next assignment, this person's next deal, what client contacts do I want to enhance for this person? Oh, this person has done a bunch of deals for this client. I want to maintain continuity instead of this. Or this client has a broader range of things, and so it's okay to bring in multiple points of contact. All of those things are strategic things, but they all go into the mentoring decision. And so as you get more senior, okay, and as you get, you know, as you're starting to build teams and you're starting to make strategic decisions about how your team works and what the mentors, what the mentees are doing. You have to be very, very, very sensitive about that. And that's part of the package. And that's part of the responsibility. I mean, JD, you're already kind of doing that, right?
I cannot agree with you more. I think as you, you know, as you get more senior to the ranks, right? Part of the responsibility is this is the group that you work in. This is your group, right? Like, we are all partners in the group, and the resource and building the team is probably the number one priority aside from business development, is what we focus on, right? We strategically go, get laterals, to supplement the team, right? For what we need. And in banking, we do a lot of, campus recruiting. And that also we spend a lot of time on getting the right personalities and with the right skill set to be a part of the team. Just thinking about, and also echoing what Larry was saying earlier, I think when we're looking at the, looking at the candidates, right? Looking at what the skills that we're adding, it's really, you want to make sure people are similarly minded, have aligned with the value, won't going to be working hard, and be molded to, the work that we do. I think one of the best analogies, as I was going up the ranks was, we were all born in the families that we were born in. I didn't say I want to be Chinese, but I'm very happy that I'm Chinese. But professionally, right, I think we all grew up sort of like the people that you work with, where you work for, and you kind of learn from them, right? It's fundamentally apprenticeship, right? And it's very important for someone as you are developing a career to make a conscious decision. This is a person that you want to be like 5-10 years from now. And that is a very big part of, I think, when we're building the team. Yes, we need the diversity of skill set, personality, cultural background, but from a professional development perspective, you are sort of getting into that mode. And that's why, at least to me, maybe this is a generalization, especially for lawyers, right? Lawyer like to say they grew up in, certain firm, and that there you do see a difference in, how they, approach a solution or a situation. There the difference in strategy, the difference in how they advise a client, and it just different styles, right? And then you sort of grew up with that. And so I think it's both that from a senior level when we're making hiring decisions, we're trying to see what the best, obviously you want to get the best talent, but the best talent also need to be selected based on their own personalities, because you need to have a fit, right? From the both side, not just, I want to go to Goldman because that's the best name. But your personality may not fit there, right? You may not like it just all depends. Right?
Let me just take another moment to appreciate the mentors, like Larry, like JD, for their selflessness and generosity and thoughtfulness and general awesomeness. And I haven't forgotten. I think what Alex indicated like 10 minutes ago was that all your restructuring, all your lawyers and, or future lawyers who come to restructuring instead of going to M&A, because restructuring is fun and, you should come to restructuring. Last but not least, Dave, tell us about how you chose your career path and what are the expectations of the firm for the next level that you're trying to achieve, and what kind of support are you getting to progress in your career?
Sure. So like many of us, I got into restructuring not by design. I did my post-MBA work at GE Capital, which went through a number of sales and wind down. So I entered restructuring via Zolfo Cooper, which was bought by Alex Partners in 2018. So Dave Orlovsky, one of our senior MDs, reached out and I interviewed. And what everyone said here kind of drew me to restructuring, right? It drew on a lot of different experience I had before. So I figured I'd give it a try. And, you know, it's been fulfilling, right? Obviously, our work is challenging, a lot of demands, but, you know, it's great. You know, one day you could be working really in the weeds on a model. The next day you're talking with vendors. You know, the other day you're doing, you know, presentations with your bankers like JD with potential buyers, right? So there, every day is very different. In terms of expectations for the next level, I think first and foremost, it's being a trusted and credible advisor to all stakeholders, right? So not just our clients, but also our fellow professionals, bankers and lawyers, right? So, you know, I want JD to think that when he partners with us, he's able to do his job to the best that he can. Same with the lawyers. And we deal with all stakeholders, lenders, board, even vendors, right? So being that trusted advisor that people can go to, they know they have integrity, they know you're telling the truth, that's important. And then also it's really having a presence in the marketplace. So developing relationships, which come from a lot of times doing great work on your assignment, but also from doing the networking and social events, but having that presence and using that to generate business for the firm. And then finally, the support. You know, I'm very fortunate to be at Alex Partners. There's a lot of formal and informal mentoring and coaching programs. The firm, you know, from a diversity perspective, has, I think, 9 employee resource groups. So anywhere from the Asian group, we have a women's group, but we also have like a military group, Pride Matters, et cetera. So the firm's really making it a point to embrace and encourage diversity, and not just demographically, but different personalities and everything. So I feel very supported there. And the firm is very focused on the next generation of talent. So I'm very fortunate to have that sponsorship as well.
Awesome. We're running out of time, but I want to do a lightning round before we end this.
Hey, Dave, before we start that, remind me, I have to call you about something. I may have something for you.
See, look at this. This is great. Thanks, Larry. Yes.
Deals in the making.
And Reorg, hopefully, we'll cover it. A lightning round, everyone. Make it quick and snappy. A favorite news and analysis provider. Larry, go.
Reorg. No, just kidding.
Just kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Right, I'm kidding. No. Harvard, John, is by far my favorite resource news and resources provider, news and analysis, of course. That, by the way, is not a shameless plug, okay? Not a shameless plug.
That question was totally rigged. I came up with a question. Anyone had another answer?
I saw Harvard, John, I had a rework research. Yes. By the way, I have to say, I know I'm going to hijack a little bit. First of all, I've been wanting to meet Harvard for the longest time because I always see that name, right? First of all, it's a very unique name. And it's like attached to every New York article.
An aspirational name.
Larry went to Harvard Law School.
Yeah, and I'm convinced it was named after Harvard.
Right. I thought so too. And meeting you, I think, first of all, it's really impressive what you have accomplished. I didn't know that you are first generation immigrant, right? Because this is a job typically doesn't your job. It's not by a first generation immigrant because you know the language barrier, it's a cultural barrier, right? And it just make it so much more impressive. I know, of course, you work super hard at this, because I know you cover so many companies, so many situations. You're always the first one to report. And I just want to give kudos to you for, you know, the, all the accomplishment that you have.
I pay Jake to say that. I'm breaking journalism rule 101, not becoming the news itself. Okay, we're going to move on. But if you were not doing what you are doing now professionally, what would you be doing right now? I want an answer from everyone. Whoever wants to go first. I'm going to...
I'll go first.
Yeah, go Alex.
All right. I want to be a cook, like a professional cook.
Okay.
It's very similar to what I do.
Are you...
The difference is, as opposed to delivering deals, I'll be delivering meals.
Okay, everyone goes to Alex's for dinner tonight. He's going to come for us.
Awesome. Larry, what's your answer?
Professor? Probably.
I can see that.
I like to teach.
JD?
Same for me. That's my... that's hopefully a shout out to Emory University. That's my alma mater. My goal is to become a professor there.
Larry, everyone goes to Harvard. Dave. Yeah.
You know, they took my teacher and professor, so I'm going to say something different. You know, I think I would try to be like a, you know, auto mechanic or something, because I'm really not good at that, but I think I'd like to challenge myself to get good at something that's technical and very necessary and useful to society.
Reminder to watch the movie Challengers. Dave reminded me. It's a good
No, Dave, the great thing about an auto mechanic is it can never get outsourced.
Oh, yep.
Most
like restructuring. I don't think AI going to replace restructuring or what Larry can do.
Yeah.
We'll see. My dad is a retired professor of artificial intelligence.
Most memorable deals. Deal. Single. Most memorable deal. We're gonna go in reverse order. Dave.
So I was on the Purdue Pharma deal in 2019 for a few years, obviously for many, many reasons that transcended restructuring, was a very significant deal. So not only was it our typical restructuring work, but there was a lot of cultural and societal impacts of it. So that one's one that I'll always remember.
JD.
So there obviously are many, but I think the one that was most personal is this company called LDK Solar. They used to be the largest solar manufacturer in the world. It was the first successful restructuring of a Chinese company. So we developed the restructuring framework, which is still being used today by all Chinese companies. That helped me my professional development tremendously. As a relatively junior person, I was able to leverage my Chinese language skill, help to push the deal and develop a great network of professional relationships. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity.
Larry.
Revlon. Both the original American Crew deal, and then also Brandco, and then the exchange offer, and then finally the Chapter 11.
Alex.
Serta Simmons. I wasn't part of the 2020 priming transaction, but I was part of the, you know, the bankruptcy team. And I was one of those guys who supported our litigators for the week-long trial at Southern District of Texas. And that was a lot of fun because I was never part of any, you know, major litigation. That was a high profile one. It was a very fast paced one. We had a great team and we delivered great results.
Awesome choice, guys. I think this has been a candid, wisdom and experience packed and no frills discussion. I hope our listeners have some takeaways. I would like to thank my guests once again for planning and participating in this reorg special podcast featuring Rainey, restructuring agents in New York. Larry Wee of Mailbank, JD of Jefferies, Alex Xiao of Gibson Dunn, and David Semakonu of Alex Partners. My name is Harvard Zhang with REORG. We hope to catch up with new and old friends at the next rainy event over the summer. Happy AAPI month, everyone. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harvard.
For in-court coverage this week, we take a look at the Weed Company, LLT Management, Johnson & Johnson, and Diamond Sports Group. At a hearing on April 29th, Judge John Sherwood conditionally approved WeWork's disclosure statement, allowing the debtors to solicit votes on a Chapter 11 plan that would hand over the majority of reorganized equity to Kupar Grimmon, aka Yardi Systems. The court overruled objections lodged by landlords and former CEO Adam Newman, setting the plan confirmation hearing for May 30th. Before the hearing, the debtors announced settlements with the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors and an ad hoc unsecured noteholder group that locked up their support for the plan, which was amended several times in the run-up to the hearing. On Wednesday, Johnson & Johnson's subsidiary, LLT Management, formerly known as LTL Management, announced a prepackaged plan of reorganization that it says would resolve all current and future ovarian cancer claims related to Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talc products. The plan would establish a trust funded by more than $8 billion in payments over 25 years, which the company calculates to have a net present value of over $6.475 billion. The ovarian cancer claims that would be resolved under the plan constitute 99.75% of the pending talc lawsuits against the company and its affiliates in the United States. LLT says it would undergo a corporate restructuring and file Chapter 11 for a new entity, Red River Talc LLC, to get court approval for the prepackaged plan if at least 75% of ovarian cancer claimants vote to accept the plan during a three-month solicitation period. During an investor call on May 1st, Johnson & Johnson Global Litigation head Eric Haas said there will be no legitimate objections to this process and explained that LLT will not seek a stay of litigation against Johnson & Johnson during the solicitation period. Johnson & Johnson's two prior Texas two-step bankruptcies for its talc unit were dismissed after the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit tossed the first case as a bad faith filing for lack of financial distress. The Diamond Sports Group debtors announced they had reached agreements to renew distribution contracts with Cox Communications and DirecTV, giving customers continued access to Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL games on the channels of DSG's regional sports network. However, DSG and Comcast failed to strike a deal on carriage renewal, and Comcast has now dropped DSG's channels. In a statement to REORG, a DSG spokesman said Comcast has refused to engage in substantive discussions despite Diamond offering terms similar to those reached with much larger distributors. Bosch Health, KL Discovery, Office Properties Income Trust, Unity Windstream, and Intelsat SES round out this week's crop of near-term restructurings and refinancings and planned mergers. A cooperation agreement for Bosch Health lenders and bondholders has gone effective and is open to joiners as the pharmaceutical company needs to address debt maturities and elevated leverage. During a conference call to discuss first quarter 2024 results, the company did not provide specific guidance as to the strategic approaches it may take to address its capital structure and near-term maturities, but emphasized that it has a lot of tools at its disposal and that the spinoff of Bosch plus Lomb remains a strategic priority. Consistent with prior commentary, management affirmed its objective that any transaction results in two appropriately capitalized companies. KL Discovery, an electronic discovery workflow and data management provider, has reached an agreement in principle with principal convertible debenture holders and principal term loan lender to significantly reduce the company's long-term debt and strengthen its financial position to focus on growth and invest in the business. More than a majority of holders of Office Properties Income Trust's 4.5% unsecured notes have signed a cooperation agreement in opposition to the discounted debt uptiering the REIT proposed on May 1st. On a call to discuss fiscal year 2024 first quarter results, management did not take questions or discuss the company's exchange offer. However, President and COO Yael Duffy noted that the company's unencumbered asset pool has its challenges. She emphasized upcoming lease expirations with roughly 30% total annual rental income expiring by 2026. Unity and Windstream have entered into a merger agreement, which will create a premier insurgent fiber provider owned approximately 62% by existing Unity shareholders and 38% by existing Windstream shareholders, with certain of Windstream's largest shareholders, including Elliott Management, rolling substantially all their Windstream investment into the combined company. Both companies' debt silos will initially remain in place to simplify the path to a combination and preserve some of the attractive financing rates on existing debt. Seattle Communication Services provider SESSA on April 30th announced an agreement to acquire 100% of the equity of Intelsat for cash consideration of $3.1 billion and certain contingent value rights based on the future potential of C-band distributions. Management said it expects to drive strong free cash flow generation at the combined company through highly visible cost synergies and expanded network capabilities across a multi-orbit infrastructure. Top red stories this week included: Judge Isger denies claimant's motion to disgorge Jackson Walker fees in 4E Brands case, but hints individual creditors still have a role to play. America Stress Maturities, RDOC Group, EchoStar, and CommScope headline public stress credits with upcoming maturities. Credit Cloud Search reveals 32 stress public and 12 private credits with maturities before 2027. Fifth Circuit upholds bankruptcy court's gatekeeping authority in Chapter 7 case involving litigious owner, foreshadowing potential decision in Highland gatekeeping dispute. And now here's Kate Thomas from New York with the week ahead.
Welcome to the week ahead. My name is Kate Thomas, and here are a few highlights from the upcoming week. A longer schedule of hearings can be found under America's Week Ahead on the REARG website. The WeWork debtors will head to court on Tuesday to seek approval of their proposed $450 million new money debt facility, which would be provided by the Ad Hoc Group and Series 3 first lien noteholder Cooper Grimmond, which is also slated as the post-effective date majority owner under the proposed plan. WeWork founder and former CEO Adam Neumann is expected to file an objection to the DIP. Previously, Neumann made several offers to provide the debtors with DIP financing. The debtors, however, deemed those offers, quote, not actionable, unquote. Also on Tuesday, the Invitae debtors will head to court to seek approval of two key items in their Chapter 11 cases: approval of the 363 sale of their business to LabCorp for $239 million in cash, and the retention of Kirkland & Ellis as their bankruptcy counsel. In response to the sale, the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors filed a reservation of rights, stating it is investigating potential breach of fiduciary duty claims and purported liens encumbering the debtors' assets. As for Invitae's retention of Kirkland, both the committee and the United States trustee have objected that Kirkland is conflicted. These parties cite the firm's concurrent representation of Deerfield, a beneficiary of the debtors' 2023 up-tier exchange, in matters unrelated to the Chapter 11 cases. The contested dips keep coming this week as the 99 cents only debtors seek approval of their contested $60.8 million dip facility on Wednesday. The debtors face objections from the indenture trustee for the company's 2026 secured notes, who contends that the debtors should prove there is no superior alternative financing available and that the debtors are offering a, quote, wholly inadequate, unquote, adequate protection package. A number of landlords and an ad hoc group of 2026 notes are raising similar concerns. That's it for now. For more on the week ahead, check out America's Week Ahead on the REARG website, and have a great week.
Thank you again for tuning in to the REARG Primary Review and our weekly review. Find all our podcasts on the REARG.com webinars and podcast page, as well as Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, and Amazon. Take care and see you all next week.